and to my office and so on. And as I was walking across the street today and across the parking lot, and I looked at this building, this sense of guilt kind of settled in it. And the reason it did is because this past week, I've been focused on people that we don't know, but they're doing this very thing, and they're called the persecuted church. And maybe some of you are more familiar, maybe you're not, but these are people who are living in great danger as they live out their faith. There's a world watch list of the 50 countries in the world where it's most dangerous to serve Jesus. And I read a little story about one of those countries. It's North Korea, by the way, who has been the number one most dangerous place to serve Jesus for the last 16 years. I read a true story of a group of men who gather on a river bank. They're going fishing, and so they have all their fishing gear with them. And so they gather, and then they head out into the river to go fishing. But when they get out there, here's what they do. They reach into their gear bags and so on, and they pull out Bibles. That's the only safe place where they can worship Jesus. And some of these Bibles, in fact, all the Bibles that this particular group had, are so worn and tattered that the pages are falling out because there aren't enough Bibles. Not everyone has a Bible. There are people who have never seen a copy of the Scripture. And they're in the safety of the river. They study the Scripture. This is life on purpose. This is intentionality behind serving Jesus. A boat comes up, happens to be another believer who is delivering brand new Bibles. These Bibles are taken to a hotel room where a custodian discovers them. Fortunately, the custodian is also a Christian. He's been praying for Bibles. And here they are in this motel where he's a custodian. And he takes these worn, tattered Bibles to a group, a secret church, where they've been praying for Bibles. This is life on purpose. This is serving Jesus with intentionality and with a design to make his name known. And honestly, if you would just allow me to just say this, I found myself not really caring about how good the coffee is or not. And I found myself not really caring about, you know, the color of the carpet or the color of the chairs or the music's too loud or the music's too soft or don't like what he's wearing or she's wearing or should have done this or churches at this time or that, all of the stuff that we kind of put into what makes it comfortable for us to go to church. Is that okay for me to say? And all of a sudden, those things just didn't matter anymore. In light of what so many people in the world today are experiencing, millions of Christians who are being persecuted for their faith, who are living life on purpose. This is what I want to talk about today. At the same time, I am so thankful. I am so grateful. Dear Jesus, thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and to worship. And sometimes we have to set aside so many things, don't we? We really, really do, in order to just allow our hearts to freely worship him. And I would just encourage you to go to opendoorsusa.com. And would you just join me in learning more about the persecuted church? Our team, we began praying last week for the church in North Korea. They're the focus right now, but there are many, many others. You can go down through the world watch list. And somehow I've made contact with Open Doors USA. You're going to learn more about them. I'm going to learn more about them as well. But Jesus, help us to remember these who are suffering for their faith, and they are doing this right here. India, the group that we're focused on, they're number 11 on the world watch list. Another a team that we have in another country, in North Africa, they're number 30 on the watch list. We need to be praying for the persecuted church. Can we do that even right now? Can we do that? So, dear Jesus, as we talk about some of the things I think that you have laid on our hearts today, we pause and we remember these who are serving you in areas where it may cost them their life, and indeed it has cost many thousands of people their lives. We lift up our brothers and sisters to you in Jesus' name. Some are in prison. Many are in prison today for their faith. They're serving you at great great danger, Jesus. So we, this faith community located in this country, free to worship, lifts up our brothers and sisters in Jesus' name, amen. This is what they're doing here, and this is what I want to talk to you about for a little bit today. And the things that kind of distract us from living a life on purpose, with intentionality, that distract us from living out this life where the light goes forth. Paul introduces us to some thinking in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So if you have your Bibles, you might want to go there, your Bible app, your tablet. It's also here on the screen, whatever. But let's take a look at it real closely, shall we? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. Now, I'm going to highlight some words here, and you might want to circle them or write them down, I think, that bring focus to this passage. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. The first word that I've circled in my Bible, in my notes, is this: discipline. And think about the word discipline. Think about what it takes to do what you do. And some of you live with more disciplined lives, some of you with less disciplined lives. Some of us are parents who are trying to teach discipline to our kids, right? It doesn't seem to be working. But I think we understand when Paul says, look, all athletes, they're disciplined in their training. In other words, it takes doing something to do something that you want to do that's in your heart. It's an athlete. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Paul is teaching by comparison here. So he's saying this. On the one hand, there is this prize that's going to fade away, like it is going to go away. So what are you pursuing? What are you training for? That's on this hand. On this hand, there's a prize, the eternal prize, that never fades away. So what are you focused on? What is it that you're doing? What is it that you're training for? This prize that will go away, you know, Paul's thinking about this this head thing, you know, that you put on the winners of the games, you know, and it's this crown thing made out of, you know, perishable stuff, right? It goes away. The best way I can describe it is your real Christmas tree that you'll put up in your house, right? And some of you already have. Now, my wife used to, years ago, insist on a real tree. It was a little bit of tension in our family. Because I'm thinking, I'm going for the fake tree. Because you don't have to do anything. You just pull it out of the box, pop, it goes up, and you got a Christmas tree, right? And she didn't like that for many, many years. Now, she got saved, and she came around to that right there. So, because the problem, what happens with a real tree? It dies, man. You got to water them, and you got to care for them, and you can water that live Christmas tree that you're going to put up, right, as much as you want, but guess what's going to happen? It is going to die. I promise you, it will not live. It's been cut down. It's going away. And Paul says that's the kind of the prize that even these athletes, disciplined as they are pursuing. He's teaching out a comparison here. But he says there's a prize that we can pursue that never fades away. And he says, so I run with this purpose in mind in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. So I circle the word discipline. I circle the word every step, those two words together, and with purpose. It's all about living life intentionally, by design, on purpose, training my body to do what it should do. Now, that's not always easy, is it? Because when your body, when the alarm clock went off this morning, your body was supposed to roll out of bed. What did you do? Hit the snooze button, right? That's what you did. Because the body doesn't want to get up at whatever time, right? How many of you, I mean, so you go to the gym, you exercise, you do whatever, and you go out to do that, and immediately your body is not going, yay, we're running now, or we're exercising. What does it want to do? Stay on the couch, right? Sit right there. I mean, you've got to discipline your body. You got to train your body, your desires to do something that don't always come naturally, you see, because we're humans. I'm not going to ask how many are on a diet. But many are, right? How hard is that for you? I mean, you're training your body. No, I'm not going to eat that. No, I'm not going to eat that. I can't eat that. Then I eat that. I sneak that. I do all those kinds of things, right? How many? The plate goes by, and you just want to have that cookie or that dessert so bad. But what are you doing? You're in training. You're teaching your body to do what it should do, even though it doesn't naturally. You're intentionally, with purpose, saying no to this so you can say yes to a better life. Paul goes on and he introduces us to this thinking in another passage in Philippians. Now, here's what we need to know. Philippi was a Roman colony. And the way that Rome would strengthen their rule, consolidate rule, they would set up these colonies and they would put on display this lifestyle that looked really, really good. It looked so good that other people would want to be a part of that. That would be just like you setting up your home, perhaps, with all the smells and all the comforts and in a way that would just draw people in and go like, I want this right here, you see. This is how I want to live. And so that's what Rome would do. So they would set up these colonies and they would put this lifestyle on display that others would go, I think I want to be a part of that. And they would draw people in. And here's what Paul is saying. Hey, you remember this. You live as citizens of heaven. What was he saying? You're not a citizen here. You're a citizen there. Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. So he's saying, this is not your home. And all the creature comforts, I will paraphrase in my own thinking, all the creature comforts that you're seeing right now on display before you, that's the Christmas tree that's going to die. That's the wreath that you work so hard for that's going to die. It will pass away. Remember this. You're a follower of Jesus. You're a citizen of heaven. Turn away from those things. Keep your focus on who you are and what Jesus has done for you. So turn away from this and head this direction. We're talking about living a life on purpose. And when we live purposefully, then we live generously. And when we live generously, the light shines out from each one of us. Now, I'm going to show you from the animal world a couple examples what I think it looks like to live purposefully and then to kind of be distracted just a little bit. So here's what purpose looks like, and I think we would all want it. Now, how many want that experience if the criminal just stole from you? You want like laser focus, right, for that dog. You don't want that dog going, hey, well, forget about that. I mean, this is what you want, right? Now, compare it to a couple other things here. So this world here that you're going to see. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. Yeah, made it. So this is the dog that Jen and I have right there, that retriever. So we know that that's true right there. Here's what happens. We can get distracted from the goal in so many ways. In so many ways, all the shiny objects. Now, I'm probably speaking more to myself today than to you, but probably to many of us, because I get distracted too. All the shiny stuff and birds and squirrels, and people who know me well know that's, yeah, he can jump all over the place, and I get that. But sometimes that's our life, and Paul is saying, man, don't do that. Don't live that way. And discipline your life. Live purposefully. Don't get caught up in all the shiny objects and the things in the world. Don't do that. Don't allow that to live in your life, because if we do, it hinders the gospel going forth. You see, Paul had an experience in his life, didn't he, that changed him. He's on a road to Damascus, right, when suddenly he meets Jesus, and Jesus changes his life. Of all the comforts that Paul could have experienced in his life, he said no to. He gave up so much in order to see the gospel of Jesus go forward, in order to make the name of Jesus famous, and that's the life that we're called into. So I want to draw our attention to a number of things this morning. As we live purposefully, as we set aside distraction, we're going to be talking about it in three areas. Number one, our life. What's it look like? That's what we're talking about today. How do we set aside distractions in our life that hinder living life on purpose? Now, I'll probably say it a number of times. Some of the distractions that come, they're not all bad. They are good things that can pull us away, but they pull us away from the most important things. We'll talk about that in just a moment. We're going to be talking about giving financial generosity, because sometimes the distractions in life can hinder us from living out the life financially that Jesus has called us into. I'm not going to tell you what week that's going to be, because I want you to be here, okay? Number three, our time. Now, in all these things, we sometimes hold these things sacred, don't we? We really, really do. And so we sometimes can say, not you, don't talk to me about my life, don't talk to me about my giving, don't talk to me about my time, because I have landed on the good life. But I think that we need to talk about these things, because Jesus talks about these things. He's called you and me to a much higher purpose, I think, than we actually sometimes live in. And this purpose is to make the name of Jesus famous. I listened to a video just this past week about a segment of our society that is just desperate for living out their life with purpose. And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, if you want to live out your life with purpose, just ask this question: how can I make the name of Jesus famous? Because that's what he has called us into. That's why I say it so often. That's the only reason Gateway exists. That's why we do what we do. That's our purpose in life. And Jesus, help us to keep focused on it. Jesus, help us not to get distracted by all the shiny objects that we can, as a faith community, actually be pulled over to. We can. God, keep us accountable. Keep us focused in on the purpose that you have called this community to, corporately and individually. So we're going to be talking about these things. Distract is something that you do to get someone's attention. You've all experienced it, haven't you? Someone has distracted you, and they said, hey, look over there, and they stole your dessert, didn't they? That's happened, right? How many of you have ever done that? Raise your hand. Yes, you have, and so have I. Right? So, hey, what's that over there? And boom, you steal something that's not that, well, it was probably yours. How many of us, while people are praying, we keep our eyes open, and everybody's eyes were shut, and when they were shut, we took their dessert. Anybody? Yeah, see, because you're not going to raise your hand, are you? So I have a program. Used it this morning that because I know how easily I'm distracted. But the program that I run just eliminates everything off my screen. Like, so no email notices come in, no bing, text or anything like that. Everything is gone except for what I'm typing. And in fact, while I'm typing, every time I'd start a new sentence, the rest of it dims way back down. It's cool, man. It eliminates distractions. Don't you wish that you could run a program like that in life sometimes? Parents, don't you wish? that when your kids are distracting you and they're talking so much and they're asking you questions, you could go boop and boom, it goes quiet? Would you like that? Would you like it, parents, if your teenager, they kept asking you the why can't I, why can't I, why can't I? You could just boop, hit the program, man, and your teen goes quiet. Would that be cool? How about your spouse? No. Never mind. She's sitting down here. Okay. I take that back. I take that one back. Okay. How many have a really talkative friend? And oh, if you could just sometimes run this program and all of a sudden they go quiet. Wouldn't that be cool? It would be great, wouldn't it? Well, we don't have that option. But we do have the option, I believe, to discipline ourselves in a way that allows us to live purposefully so that we can make the name of Jesus famous. Ever since the beginning of time, we have struggled, haven't we, with distractions. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, right? Humans arrive on the scene, and there's an instruction, right? You can partake of any fruit except for this one tree right here. And what's the enemy do? Enemy comes along, right, and says, hey, what about that? Well, we can't eat that one. Why not? Well, because God said not to. But he said that because he knows if you do, and all of a sudden the distractions start coming in. See, go back to Genesis chapter 3, read the story. But the fruit looks so delicious. And I think the mistake that was made, not just by the woman, but I know sometimes we blame the woman like a she did, but listen, he ate it too. Right? It looks so good. It looks so delicious. I think the mistake, a key mistake is this, like she began to look at it and began to think, yay, that does look really good. And all of a sudden this, to put it lightly, truly, distraction that the enemy brought into her life all of a sudden began to take them away from the very thing that God called them to. And we know the end of that story. Distract comes from the Latin word to draw apart. Draw apart. So the distractions that come into your life and in my life, they draw us away from or apart from the life that Jesus has called us into. Draws apart us. So the question that we're going to come to in just a few moments is, what shiny object? What's distracting you from living out the life that Jesus has called you into? Life on purpose so that his name goes forward. Is it a grip of the things that you kind of humanly want in life? Is it the new iPhone? So now I'm talking to myself now. Because I have all kinds of reasons why I should have the new phone. Now, so far, I haven't yet. But I can be distracted from that, right? What is it that distracts you? What shiny object can come into your life to take you away from what Jesus has called you into? It literally means to draw us apart. And we're drawn away from the life that Jesus calls us into, the purposeful life, with intentionality, so that his name is made famous in our life, our finances, and in our time. I want to share with you two stories, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Go to Luke. And we read, they're stories, but they are true stories. So they're not the parables that we have talked about before, where Jesus uses a parable. These are stories that actually happened. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, where we read about the temptation of Jesus. And the enemy comes along in Luke 4. And just let me just read part of it. It's a familiar story to some of you. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. So in that setting right there, what's the enemy come along? He goes, hey, you're hungry. Turn this stone here into a loaf of bread. God will do that for you, right? And all of a sudden, he starts bringing that into his life. How does Jesus respond? He says this, people do not live by bread alone. So the devil tried another tactic. He took him up and revealed all the kingdoms of the world and said, hey, I'll give you all of this if you would just do this, if you will worship me. And Jesus replied with these words, you must worship the Lord your God and only serve him. That's what the scriptures say. And so the enemy took him to the into Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple. And he says, hey, jump off. Let's just see how this thing works, right? I mean, all this stuff he was trying to bring into Jesus' life. And Jesus responds and says this. The scriptures also say, you must not test the Lord your God. So here's the enemy in all of these circumstances, bringing all this stuff into the life of Jesus. And say, look, why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? Look, you're hungry, the stone, the bread. Like, jump. This is all yours. And here's what the Bible says. He left him until the next opportunity came. And I've sat on that scripture for a while. And that word, opportunity. Here's what the enemy knows. He knows in your life, and he knows in my life, where the opportunity exists. Think about it. He knows where you can be most distracted in your life with Jesus. And for some of us, it's during the night. For some of us, it's a quiet time. For some of us, it's when we're away from home. For some of us, it's the temptations that he brings in. Those are the opportunities that the enemy is trying to seize in order to distract you from living the life that Jesus has called you to do. And when you live the life that Jesus has called you to do, guess what? Purposefully and with intentionality, his kingdom begins to expand because our purpose is to make the name of Jesus famous. So what's the opportunity? The second story comes out of Acts chapter 16. Now, it's interesting to me that I think we kind of land on the miracle of what's going to happen here. I'll share it with you. But I think it's the wrong focus of this story. Here's what's happening. Paul and Silas, right? They're on their way, and they're disrupted, distracted by this slave girl, right, who is constantly yelling at them. And the story says, you know, like, Paul, he got really tired of this after some days. And so he commanded this the spirit to come out of this slave girl. And what happens as a result? Her owners lose their source of income. And it made everybody mad. So a mob formed, and they beat up Paul and Silas, right, and threw them in prison. Now, here's what I want to describe to you for just a few moments. I'm going to ask you a key question. Paul and Silas are in prison, and they were told, the jailer, put them away. Don't let them get away. So they're in the inner dungeon, the inner place. It's dark. It's damp. It's ugly. There are rodents. There are all these things. I just want to ask you this question. What place have you ever been in your life where you couldn't wait to get out of? Think about it. You just couldn't wait to get out of there. It was maybe it was cold, damp, whatever, for some other reason, you just couldn't wait to get out, and you were so happy when you did. Have you ever been in a place like that? I have been, and many of us have, too. It looks different for all of us, but here in Paul and Silas, they're in that place. Their legs are in stocks, probably just their legs. It was much more uncomfortable the way that they had them, and all of a sudden, what happens? We read the story, don't we? They're singing, aren't they? And they're singing these hymns. And I think we miss the miracle, the true miracle here, I think. I'm going to offer you this. They're singing, and what happens? All of a sudden, the prison doors open up, right? And the chains fall off, and the stocks open. If you are them, and you're the other prisoners, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm running, right? Are you? I think so. I don't think that's the miracle. It is a miracle that all that happened. But I think the miracle is this. They stayed where they were. Think about it. That place that you and I want to escape from, they stayed because purpose prevailed, not the distraction. Their purpose was to share the good news of the gospel. That's why they were there. That's a life on purpose. All this other stuff, even my discomforts and where I am today, look, none of that's going to distract me from sharing the good news of the gospel, from living life on purpose. I think that's the miracle. And the jailer came to faith. We are kept from our goal, not by our obstacles, but by a clear path to a lesser goal. It's not the obstacles. It's a clear path to a lesser goal. So I have two questions for you as we wrap up, and I'll lead you into prayer. Question number one is this. What good thing is keeping you away from the better thing? So what shiny object has come into your life that's keeping you from the better thing of living this life for Jesus with intentionality, with purpose? What good thing is keeping you from the better thing? Second question is this. What distraction has come into your life that has disrupted your Jesus direction and your purpose? What distraction has come into your life? You know, I like to say it this way. Distractions disrupt direction. Distractions disrupt direction. We can be heading this way and going in the right way, and all of a sudden there is a distraction and we're disrupted this way. So what is it that's in your life? I believe as we focus, as we live life on purpose, with intentionality, as we say no to so many of the good things in life, we say no so we can say yes to the better things. Really, it comes down to what's the most important. Not allowing the lesser important to become more important, being sure the more important is the most. So staying away from allowing the lesser to become more so the more can have its rightful place in our life. Can we stand together? I'm going to lead you in a prayer from John Bloom, actually, that I read just this past week. And I'm going to share with you, and I'm going to ask us to repeat it. And I'm just going to ask us to just consider this morning, what is it that God is calling us right now to give up? What shiny object or distraction? Or what is he speaking to you about in your own life? He has spoken to me about a number of things. I've told you so often that, you know, this stuff starts with me before it gets out to you. So this is about all of us. Whatever it takes, Lord, increase my resolve to pursue only what you call me to do and deliver me, I love that, from the fragmenting effect of fruitless distraction. Can you read it with me and let's make it our prayer today? Whatever it takes, Lord, increase my resolve to pursue only what you call me to do and deliver me from the fragmenting effect of fruitless distraction. Jesus, that's our prayer today. God, we lift up our lives to you this morning. God, I know that there are so many things that can come in. They're good things, they're bad things, but they're all things that distract us from the life that you have called us into. Lord, I would pray that you challenge each one of us again today, beginning with myself, of this life that you have given to us, that we can choose to live as you enable us, Lord, with intentionality and with purpose, Lord, for just this one thing, and that's to make your name famous throughout the world, beginning here locally. God, I know there are things that can come in, and we've allowed things to come in. So in this moment, God, we're giving those things up to you, whatever they are. The shiny objects, the things that distract us, Jesus. We give those to you, Lord, this morning. Help us in our resolve, Lord. Enable us in our resolve to turn away from those things, those distractions that disrupt the direction that you have called us into. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So go ahead and be seated just for a second. I got a couple things I want to share with you. If you're new with us today, if you're joining us online, or if you're new, look at your knees. Look at your knees. There is a card right ahead of you, right ahead of your knees in that seat, and you can fill that out. It's a great way to turn in a prayer request, address change, question, whatever the case may be. We'd love to be able to get connected with you.